anything of the kind. When he had finished the will, he wished to proceed to a choice of his last words. He wanted to know how the following words, as a dying exclamation, struck me. I die for my God, for my country, for freedom of speech, for progress, and the universal brotherhood of man. I objected that this would require too lingering a death. It was a good speech for a consumptive, but not suited to the exigencies of the field of honor. We wrangled over a good many anti-mortem outbursts, but I finally got him to cut his obituary down to this, which he copied into his memorandum book, proposing to get it by heart. I die that France might live. I said that this remark seemed to lack relevancy, but he said relevancy was a matter of no consequence in last words. What you wanted was thrill. The next thing in order was the choice of weapons. My principal said he was not feeling well and would leave that and the other details of the proposed meeting to me. Therefore, I wrote the following note and carried it to Monsieur Fourtou's friend. Sir, Monsieur Gambetta accepts Monsieur Fourtou's challenge and authorizes me to propose Plessis-Piquet as the place of meeting. Tomorrow morning, at daybreak as the time, and axes as the weapons. I am, sir, with great respect, Mark Twain. Monsieur Fourtou's friend read this note and shuddered. Then he turned to me and said with a suggestion of severity in his tone, "Have you considered, sir, what would be the inevitable result of such a meeting as this? Well, for instance, what would it be? Bloodshed. Well, that's about the size of it," I said. "Now, if it is a fair question, what was your side proposing to shed?" I had him there. He saw he had made a blunder, so he hastened to explain it away. He said he had spoken jestingly. Then he added that he and his principal would enjoy axes, and indeed prefer them. But such weapons were barred by the French code, and so I must change my proposal. I walked the floor, turning the thing over in my mind, and finally it occurred to me that Gatling guns at 15 paces would be a likely way to get a verdict on the field of honor. So I framed this idea into a proposition. But it was not accepted. The code was in the way again. I proposed rifles, then double-barreled shotguns, then Colt's Navy revolvers. These being all rejected, I reflected a while and sarcastically suggested brickbats at 3/4 of a mile. I always hate to fool away a humorous thing on a person who has no perception of humor. And it filled me with bitterness when this man went soberly away to submit the last proposition to his principal. He came back presently and said his principal was charmed with the idea of brickbats at 3/4 of a mile, but must decline on account of the danger to disinterested parties passing between them. And then I said, "Well, I am at the end of my string now. Perhaps you would be good enough to suggest a weapon. Perhaps you have even had one in your mind all the time." His countenance brightened, and he said with alacrity, "Oh, without doubt, monsieur." So he fell to hunting in his pockets, pocket after pocket, and he had plenty of them, muttering all the while, "Now what could I have done with them?" At last he was successful. He fished out of his vest pocket a couple of little things which I carried to the light and ascertained to be pistols. They were single-barreled and silver-mounted and very dainty and pretty. I was not able to speak for emotion. I silently hung one of them on my watch chain and returned the other. My companion in crime now unrolled a postage stamp containing several cartridges and gave me one of them. I asked if he meant to signify by this that our men were to be allowed one shot apiece.